Right, morning, everyone. Today's daf and sukkah daf tests. We're about the midway point of the first perek of the Masechta. We start the next Mishnah. It's really the second Mishnah that we've seen since the beginning of the Masechta. Since the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about structural issues regarding the sukkah. We talked about maximum height, minimum height, number of walls, minimum area of the sukkah, placement of the third wall of the sukkah, a lot of structural issues regarding the sukkah. We spent nearly an entire daf yesterday. Talking about a circular sukkah, converting a circle into a square, using a little bit of geometry that we learned back in high school in order to help us get through converting a circle into a square in order so that we can have the minimum area of the circumference. Okay, that was yesterday's daf. Today we take a departure from the world of structure, and we talk a little bit today about the topic of Sukkah Lishma, which we'll explain in just a moment. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. The Daf is Lon Lezecha Nishmas, Lois Zaltzman, Lupin Zaltzman. And we are starting from the Mishnah on the very top of Testament Aleph. We begin Sukkah Yishana Beis Shammai Posim Beis Ol Machshim. So let's say you have an old Sukkah. Now, old Sukkah over here, as the Mishnah is about to explain, doesn't mean the age of the Sukkah really doesn't matter. It just simply means that it was put up 30 days prior to Sukkahs. Or before 30 days before Sukkot. So in other words, you had in the back of your house, you had a gazebo. You have a nice place in the back where you go and you lounge and you get to hang out in the back. And the truth of the matter is, it works. It's a kosher sukkah, but you just didn't build it for the sake of Chag HaSukkos. So does that work? So that's the machlokas, the mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says it doesn't work, and as the Gemara will explain, the reason behind Beis Shammai is that you need a sukkah lishma. I'll get to that in a moment. Okay, you need a circle of Shema. Now that means that according to Beis Shammai, this and we have this concept by a number of mitzvahs. We have it by tzitzis, we have it by matzah. That you have to when you make the mitzvah, when you put the mitzvah together, it has to be l'shem mitzvah. Meaning it can't be that I just simply randomly put something together and simply said, okay, now I have a pair of tzitzis, that would be fine. Or regarding matzah, it can't just simply be that I baked the matzah, not for the purpose of the mitzvah, but just simply because we were in the mood, whatever the case was, and then afterwards, oh, let's use this now for the mitzvah. By certain mitzvahs, there's a lishma quality, meaning that when you put it together, it has to be made lishma. Beis Shammai believes, is of the opinion, that the same thing is true regarding sukkah. When you make your sukkah, the sukkah has to be made lishma. So the issue over here in our Mishnah, even though the way the Mishnah presents it, is that it's a 30-day issue. It's not a 30-day issue. It's that if you build the sukkah before 30 days, probably, most probably, you didn't build a l'shem sukkah. It doesn't have a lishma element to it, and therefore it's no good. Once you build it within 30 days, so then it has a lishma element, and then it would be fine. So first of all, what's the magic of 30 days? Well, 30 days is, you know, people are trained to think about the mitzvah. So the answer is, yeah, that's correct. When it comes to Yontif, so we have a general rule that 30 days prior to Yontif, so we're supposed to be already engaged in the mitzvah Zayom. So in the halachas of the Yom. So therefore, we saw this. Do we see this yet? It's coming up at the end of Masechta Megillah. Okay. But anyway, we haven't seen it yet in the cycle of Shas. But we will see together that before 30 days prior to Yontif, so you have to already start being engaged in the learning of the halachas of the Yontif. So fine. So if you're within 30 days of Sukkah, so probably you're thinking about the Yontif of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah. So if you build the Sukkah within 30 days, it's probably Lishma. But if you build it before 30 days, probably not Lishma. And Beis Shammai therefore says it's possible. Now, we spent a lot of time just talking about Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel says, no, it's good. And as the Gemara is going to articulate, according to Beis Hillel, there is no requirement of Lishma when it comes to Sukkah, and we will see the Pesukim and why Beis Hillel arrives at this conclusion. Back to the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah points out, but what if, let's say, you built the Sukkah in the beginning of the year, but you said when you built the Sukkah, this is Lashem Sukkah. So that would be fine. Even according to Beis Shammai, that would be fine. Again, there's no magic between before 30 days and after 30 days. It just happens to be that after 30 days, probably you built it for the purpose of a sukkah. Prior to 30 days, you probably didn't. But if you know you did, and you specifically went out and said, look, I know right now we're in the month of February, and I know sukkahs is not a good 7 months from now, 8 months from now. But you know what? Okay, I'll build it anyway. and I built it l'shem sukkah, so Beis Shammai says that would be fine. That would be okay, because then you're building it l'shma. Once again, let's reiterate, we don't pass on like Beis Shammai, we pass on like Beis Hillel. Sukkah does not need to be built l'shma. We learned earlier in the Masechta that there is a base requirement, and that is that the sukkah has to be there to be providing shade and built for the purposes of shade. That's the discussion we just finished off yesterday. The sukkah's Rakbash, the sukkah's Ganbach, that it does have to be built minimally for shade, but it does not need to be built l'shem sukkah. There's the Yerushalmi, a Gemara Yerushalmi that's quoted over here by our Tosfos, and the Yerushalmi says, even though the sukkah doesn't have to be built l'shma, but there's still one more requirement, even according to Beis Hillel, and that is l'chadish badavar. In other words, when you get to sukkahs and you have a gazebo in the backyard and you plan on using it as a sukkah, but you got to do something with it that basically says, this is for sukkahs. What exactly do you need to do? So if you take a look at Tosfos, the top Tosfos, so he brings down two opinions. So Chavram and Tefach, Rav Yossi Amar Kol Shehu. Okay, so so what exactly needs to be performed to your sukkah, even according to Beis Hillel? You got to do something. So either you got to manipulate a tefach of your sukkah, not exactly sure what that means, or a kol shehu, or just simply any manipulation of the sukkah. But then the Gemara points out, Tosfos points out, first Tosfos on the Amud, Uman Darma Kol Shehu Vavashitei Alpenei Kula. You have to do some form of manipulation on the sukkah, but it has to be over the totality of the sukkah. Probably it's a reference to the schach, meaning pick up the schach, put down the schach. So very often you're going to hear, right, somebody asked the Rav, the sukkah wasn't made for sukkahs, so what do I do? So he'll say, based on this Yerushalmi, quoted by Tosfos, l'charesh badavi, you just have to do some sort of manipulation of the schach, pick it up, put it back down again. And again, from our Gemara Bavli, we don't get any hint of that. But from the Yerushalmi, quoted by Tosfos, you have to do some minor modification or manipulation of the actual schach. Okay, good. That takes us through the Mishnah. The Gemara starts the discussion. My time at the Beis Shammai, what's behind the reason behind Beis Shammai? Amakra Chagasukas Shivas Yamim Lahashem. Sukkah Asu L'Shem Chag Be'inan. So if you look carefully at the pasuk again, there's only one set of psukim to look at when it comes to sukkahs. It's in Parshas Amor. So if you look at the psukim, the Torah describes the Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem. It is for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Beis Shammai arrives from this pasuk that it has to be L'Shem Chag Be'inan. It has to be for the purpose of sukkahs. Meaning, when you build your sukkah, it has to be L'Shma. Beis Hillel HaOmi Bai L'Chadur Av Sheishes. Now Hillel says, look, I understand that pasuk, but that pasuk arrives at a different conclusion and a different halacha, notably the halacha that is recorded to us by Rav Sheshes. Now, obviously, Rav Sheshes comes well after, but the point is that this halacha, Rav Sheshes, is what motivated Beis Hillel and what Beis Hillel uses the pasuk for. How do I know that the wood that you use to build the sukkah is prohibited all 7 days? Meaning that when you build a sukkah, obviously there's wood involved in the building of the sukkah. The walls, the schach. How do I know that that wood is usur? It's prohibited. Now, what does that mean, prohibited? You're obviously sitting in the sukkah, meaning that you can't benefit from that wood, outside of course, of the use of the sukkah, at any point in time during the yontif sukkahs. Tam alamar chag sukkah shivas yamim l'Hashem. So he learns it from this pasuk, that the atzei ha-sukkah, the wood of the sukkah, is prohibited. V'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Mezera Amar k'shem shechal shem shemayim al chagiga kachal shem shemayim al hasukkah. In fact, if you go back to the pasuk and you look at the pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mezera says the pasuk is basically connecting two different ideas: the idea of chag in the context of a carbon chagiga, and that of sukkah. So we know when it comes to chagiga has kedusha, it has sanctity. You cannot use a chagiga for anything other than as a carbon. And if you benefit from the carbon chagiga, that is a violation of me'ila. You are being molba hektish, you are misappropriating something that is dedicated to the base of mikdash. Same thing is true regarding sukkah. If you benefit from the sukkah, you're also, I don't know to what degree, but you're also being molba hektish. It has sanctity, it has kedusha, and you can't get benefit from it. So fine. So that is what Beis Hillel does with the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem, and it's a connection between the word Chag and the word Sukkah. Chag in reference to a carbon. Sukkah also has a carbon-like quality to it, in that you're not allowed to benefit from the wood of the Sukkah. So that means that let's say during Sukkos, I need a piece of wood, right? Not on Yontif itself. On Yontif itself to deconstruct your sukkah, that's a malacha. But let's say I'm Chol HaMoed, I need a piece of wood, so I'll just simply grab one of the planks of wood that I used to build my sukkah. So what we're learning from our Gemara now is that you can't do that, because there is a kedusha quality to the wood used to make your sukkah. And therefore you cannot get benefit outside of the sukkah from the wood used to build the sukkah. Good. That's what Beis Hillel does with the pasuk. I'll just read a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll come back to a basic point of Tosfos. So the Gemara says, now this halacha that Beis Hillel uses from this pasuk, what does Beis Shammai say about that? Beis Shammai says, you know what? Good point. You're right. I'm also generating the same halacha, that your sukkah has carbon-like quality to it. And he said, the Gemara says, so back to square one. How does Beis Shammai know that your sukkah has to be made l'shma? So, k'siv k'rachrin achag, sukkah tasa l'cha. Shivas Yamim, Sukkah Asu L'Shem Chag B'Inan. Beis Shammai says, look, let's go to Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says that the Chag HaSukkah Taselach, that you have to make the Sukkah. And it means that it has to be made L'Shem Sukkah. So that's the L'Shma element. Beis Hillel, how mi bai le'los in Sukkah B'chol Shabbat. Now Beis Hillel says, no. Actually, well, you know what the Pasuk's telling you? For whatever reason, you don't have a sukkah yet. You didn't put up a sukkah for the first days of Yantiv, and now you're at Chol HaMoed. So what do? Put up a sukkah. In other words, the Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that you can make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Why would I have thought differently? What would be the alternative? Not to build a sukkah? Yeah, because it's not for 7 days. Meaning, if you missed the first day, and now by day two, and now here in Chutzarts, by day three, now you're building a sukkah for the first time, by definition, it's not a 7-day sukkah. I might have thought that the only sukkah that's valid is only your 7-day sukkah. Beis Hillel uses this pasuk to teach us that no, that you build a sukkah even if it's not intended for 7 days. And Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that you can build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed, because Rabbi Lazar requires that the sukkah be a 7-day event. And the sukkah that you build has to be for 7 days. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you miss the first day, you do not make a sukkah on during Chol HaMoed.
They're not bone,
We're not talking about Anyantav. We're talking about during Chol HaMoed. Anyantav, you'd be right. But even on Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Lazar says you can't build a sukkah. Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Dam Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Fine. Okay. So that takes us now through the give and take of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So again, just a quick recap. So we have basically two psukim that we're focusing on. The pasuk in Parshas Amor of Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yamim LaHashem. So the Gemara concluded that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arrive from this pasuk the following halacha, which is that you cannot use the wood that you use to build the sukkah during sukkahs for any other purpose other than the sukkah. It has kedusha-like quality, it has karma-like quality, and therefore you cannot benefit from such a sukkah. What about the halacha of lishma? So Beis Shammai says, we turn to Parshas Re'eh, when the Torah says, Chag HaSukkah Tasalach. So Beis Shammai says, from that pasuk we derive, sukkah has to be made lishma. And Beis Hillel says, no, from that pasuk we derive that you can build the sukkah during Chol HaMoed. There is no requirement of lishma according to Beis Hillel. That's not a sukkah requirement. That may be true by tzitzis, which we'll see in just a moment. May be true by matzah, which we won't see in just a moment. But it's not true regarding the mitzvah of sukkah. There's no lishma requirement. Good. And fine, that's a basic machloket between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay. Before we go on to the Gemara is about to compare the halachas of sukkah to the halachas of tzitzis, because by tzitzis there is a lishma requirement, which we'll get to in just a second, but just to deal with the basic issue that Tosfos grapples with over here. We have just learned in our Gemara that both according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that during the 7 days of sukkahs, your sukkah is untouchable. Okay, and it's forbidden. It's again, you sit in the sukkah, you benefit from the sukkah, but to get benefit from the material used to build the sukkah, that's out of the question. And why is it out of the question? We have a pasuk in Chumash comparing the sukkah to a karbon. So, if I were to ask you, if one were to take the material used to build the sukkah and get benefit from it, so he's violating an issa d'rabbanan or an issa d'araisa? It sounds like from our Gemara that he's violating an issa d'araisa. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Okay, that in of itself, that's fine. Tosos notes that if you take a look at a couple of other Gemaras, the other Gemaras make it sound like that you can't benefit from the material of the sukkah, but that's not Nisa D'Araisa, that's only Nisa D'Rabbanan. Third Tosfos on the Amud, he discusses this very issue. Minan latzei sukkah shasur kol shiva mashma da asirei mid araisa. From our Gemara, it sounds like this is a din daraisa who drasha gemori. The Gemara is expanding a pasuk. It's a real drasha. Midaparch va'akala hachudas of a tema to prepare kira mashma shuhu mid rabbanan. Tosfos takes us to the third parak of Shabbos, back to the third parak of Shabbos, where the Gemara over there indicates that using the material that you use to build your sukkah is not a daraisa prohibition. But it's only the rabbanan. The ma'aseh some right the Rabbi Shimon Islu Gabi Nermi Toch Shehuksa Mitzvasa Huksa Liisurav Mehad Detanya Inol Lenetsim and Asuka Biyamtav Rabbi Shimon Matir V'Shavim Asuka Sachag B'Chag Shei Asura. So the Gemara over there is having a muksa discussion. Muksa, which on we know more in terms of Shabbos than on Shabbos. If something is muksa, it's set aside, then you can't use it on Shabbos. But it's also, there's a muksa concept regarding Shabbos. There's also a muksa concept regarding mitzvahs. Yet if I have something dedicated to a mitzvah, so I can't handle it. But muksa is a din d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic injunction. It's not a din d'araisa. So why the Gemara over there in Shabbos is having a discussion about the material of the sukkah in the context of muksa, which is a din d'rabbanan, and we, on the other hand, here on Daf Tes and Sukkah, we're having a discussion of the material of the sukkah being a din d'araisa. The Gemara here comparing it to a chag, comparing it to a karmen chagiga. So, is it an issur d'araisa, or is it merely a din d'rabbanan? And the Gemaras seem to be at odds with one another. Tosfos gives us two approaches in terms of how to resolve this discrepancy. V'yesh lomar. So, if you are just skipping a little bit in Tosfos, we're about 20 lines down from the top, from the beginning of the Tosfos. Last words in the line, V'yesh lomar. D'ha'i d'asim ed'araisa ha'ina ba'o d'kayemes. Asa litol mimenu eitzim. So one proposal of Tosfos is a distinction between while the sukkah is up and after the sukkah is put down after sukkahs. While the sukkah is up, Tosfos says that's a din d'araisa. That's the pasuk of Shivas, the pasuk in Parshas Emor of Chagas Sukkah Shivas Yamim La Hashem. That during the 7 days while the sukkah is standing. So there's a din d'araisa that one is not allowed to benefit from the material used to build the sukkah on sukkahs itself. And that's a din d'araisa. After the sukkah falls down, so then, since it was set aside for a mitzvah, so therefore there's a din muksa, huksa l'mitzvasa, after the sukkah has come down. That's one possible resolution of Tosfos. It is a little bit difficult to understand to me. I'm just now speaking out my mind, which is always dangerous. It's a little bit difficult to understand, meaning once the sukkah comes down, so generally speaking, what do we say regarding things that were used for the purpose of a mitzvah? Once the mitzvah is completed, once the mitzvah is done, so that's it. You're allowed to get rid of it. You're allowed to discard it. It's what we call, we're going to see this together in Masechta Megillah, it's what we call Tashmishei Mitzvah. Things that were used for a mitzvah. So things that were used for a mitzvah, generally speaking, once the mitzvah is done, so you can discard it. Now you should and need to discard it in an appropriate manner. You wrap it up. But nevertheless, so generally speaking, you can discard it after the mitzvah is done. Over here, what Tosfos is saying is that after the sukkah comes down, so the material used for the sukkah still has a din muksa, right? A din derabbanan that one is not allowed to benefit from it. Okay, why should that be over here regarding sukkah? Could be possibly. Well, maybe sukkah is different because while the sukkah was up, there was a din d'araisa. Meaning that, like for tzitzis, for example, I know tzitzis is a big topic, part of today's daf. Tzitzis, for example, while you're wearing the tzitzis, there's no prohibition in our Torah that one can't benefit from the tzitzis. In fact, just the opposite. Meaning they're on our body, they keep us warm. So we are benefiting from it. So, but when it comes to sukkah, could be that because there's a din d'araisa while the sukkah is up during the 7 days, so therefore, kind of like a... Right, that was like a residual effect when the sukkah is taken down that there's a din muksa on the materials used for the sukkah. Okay, that is one possible resolution. Just quickly to go through, Tosfos offers a second possible resolution. The Tirus Rabbi Natan. Now I'm skipping way down in the Tosfos. It's about five lines, six lines before the Tosfos comes to conclusion. The Tirus Rabbi Natan. My first to eat some shell. כדי הכשר סוכה חי לקדושה עליו ועשיר מדרעיסה. אבל היוסר מכדי הכשר לא מצרי אלא מדרבן. An interesting answer by Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, look, the Issa d'Oraisa mentioned in our Gemara, that's going on the base minimum area of a sukkah. Now that's difficult to understand just simply because when you're building a large sukkah, you're talking about the base minimum area.
7x7.
Right, you're talking about 7x7. Usually that's going to be more airspace than that sukkah. Meaning your sukkah is obviously going to be, you know, walls that are spread out in a much greater area. But Rabbeinu Tam says that if you look at the base area of the sukkah of 7x7, that is going to be an Issa d'Oraisa, and then anything that extends beyond that, the extra of your sukkah, so to say, so that's only going to be an Issa d'Rabbana. And good question, and I was about to articulate that very question. I don't know from Rabbeinu Tam's standpoint, where's the base, where's the extra? I don't know how to, you know, how to configure, but Rabbeinu Tam says that could be another possible resolution to our Gemara that says that the material is Aser Midaraisa versus the Gemara Shabbos that says that the material is only Aser Midarabanan. Okay, but fine. Another possible suggestion. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. All right, so where are we in the Gemara now? We have a halacha of Lishma. We're arguing, I should say, rather, about the halacha of Lishma. Beis Hillel says that there's no requirement of Lishma by Sukkah. Beis Shammai says there is a requirement of Lishma by Sukkah. They argue in terms of what to do with the Pasuk and Parshas Re'eh. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, according to Beis Hillel, Einos in Sukkah b'chol Shema, Beis Hillel leis lehud Rav Yehuda Merav. Ogdam Rav Yehuda Merav, so I mean, okay. Okay. I'm sorry, Velaislahu. It's okay. If you we're back in the Gemara, we're starting, we're resuming about two-thirds down. The Gemara wonders. So what are you saying? That according to Beis Hillel, there's no Lishma requirement. So the Gemara says, really? He doesn't hold of Rav Yehuda Merav, Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, Asa Mina Kotzim, Amina Nima, Mina Garden, Psula, Mina Sisin Kshera. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, if I make my tzitzis, meaning the actual strings itself, from little threads that are fraying off the end, so kotzin, nimin, or garden, so that's no good, that's psula. However, if I make it min hasisin, so something that was made for the purposes of the tzitzis, right, Rashi, pekios kedurio shochut, so then it would be kosher. The Rashi points out why is this last category kosher? So Rashi writes right alongside where we are in the Gemara, Hol kisha nitlo bebege l'shem tzitzis nitlo asuya l'shma hi. De tviya l'shma lo be'ina shein tviya min asuya. Meaning you don't have to spin the threads for the purposes of tzitzis, but once you have threads, the threads have to be dedicated for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Otherwise stated, put simply, tzitzis have to be made l'shma. And what the Gemara is bothered by is that when it comes to tzitzis, there's a lishma requirement that the strings themselves have to be designed for the purposes of tzitzis, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. And why is that not true by sukkah? So kiyam ritzakam di Shmuel amar lei afmin asisa nami psul debin tzvi lishma. Now Shmuel happens to disagree. Shmuel says that even the spinning of the threads have to be lishma. So fine. But still, the question is a very basic question. Why by tzitzis is there a lishma requirement? Why by sukkah is there not? Ha'achanam ini by sukkah asu lishma? Shani halsam damakar gedilim ta'asalach. Lach l'shem chal v'cha. Yeah, when it comes to tzitzis, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Kisei say, you have to make tzitzis l'cha, for you, or lach. You have to make it on your behalf. Meaning that when you fashion the tzitzis, it has to be made for the purposes of the mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, okay, we have the same thing by sukkah, right? Hachanami chag sukkah tasalach lechal l'shem chal v'cha. Okay, we have almost the exact same formulation in the Torah when it comes to sukkah. So now I really don't understand what's the difference between tzitzis and sukkah. Why by tzitzis is there a lishma requirement, and why by sukkah is there not a lishma requirement? Haomi by lelamutik zula. So the Gemara says no. When it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, the Torah says that you can't steal a sukkah. The Torah is invoking the Chag HaSukkos Tasalach, meaning it has to be yours and you can't steal it. So Hasanami Mibayla Lemutik Zula. So the Gemara says, okay, same thing by Tzitzis. I'm not allowed to steal the Tzitzis. So the Gemara says, Hasam Ksiv Krachrina Vasulahem Mishalahem. So the Gemara says, no, when it comes to Tzitzis, I already know that you can't use stolen Tzitzis because we have another Pasuk. The Torah says, Vasulahem, right? Parsha of Tzitzis, Parsha Shlach. So that means that it has to be yours, and you can't have taken somebody else's and use it to make your own set of tzitzis. So now I already know that tzitzis gzula is no good, so what do I do with the pasuk of gedilim tasalach? That's a requirement of lishma. But when it comes to sukkah, we simply have no pasuk in the Torah that tells us that there's a requirement of lishma. What do we do with the pasuk of chag HaSukkos tasalach? Lach means it can't be a stolen sukkah. Okay. Adkan, when all said and done, when this discussion is now over, which it is in the Gemara, so it comes out now that according to Beis Hillel, there is no lishma requirement by sukkah. There is a lishma requirement by tzitzis, okay, and it's based on the availability of drushas. Where by tzitzis, we have already a drasha for I can't use stolen tzitzis, therefore the pasuk of Gedilim Tasalach is telling us that there's a lishma requirement. Masha Enkin, when it comes to sukkah, there is no lishma requirement simply because there's no drasha available to tell us that there's no lishma requirement by a sukkah. Adkan. All right, just one last discussion on this amud before we turn the page. A really basic discussion, which Tosus over here, bottom Tosus on the amud discusses, and that's the following. Did you just see what happened in the Gemara? The Gemara says that when it comes to tzitzis, I can't have stolen tzitzis. Why? Because of a pasuk. When it comes to sukkah, I can't steal my sukkah. Why? Because of a pasuk. Tosus asked a question, which I'm sure a number of you are thinking right now. I need a pasuk to tell me that I can't steal a sukkah. I need a pasuk to tell me that I can't steal tzitzis. What about the concept of mitzvah ba'avera? Mitzvah ba be'avera. In fact, one of the primary places where the Gemara discusses mitzvah ba be'avera is coming up in this Masechta. We get to Daf Lamed, beginning of the third perek, a very popular perek in the yeshivas. So the Gemara there discusses the concept of mitzvah ba be'avera, that the ends do not justify the means, and if I gained something through illicit manner, so I can't use that item now for the purpose of a mitzvah, and this is the disqualification of mitzvah ba be'avera. The Gemara, in fact, in the beginning of the third parak says, I can't steal a lulav. Why can't I steal a lulav? So on day one, I can't steal a lulav because the Torah says, Lachem, Ishalachem. Lekachtem Lachem, Yom HaRishon. But what about day two, through day seven? What's wrong with the stolen lulav? And the Gemara's answer is, Mitzvah Baba Vera. And the Gemara in Daf Lamed actually quotes a pasuk. It's a pasuk from Navi, it's a pasuk from Malachi. So it's not a... We'll get to this in just a moment, but it's not a din d'oraisa. The Torah says that the Gemara says over there, "Va'aveisim gazul v'se pisech v'sechola gazul domi de pisech ma pisech leisle tekantaf gazul nami leisle tekantaf." A lame animal cannot be brought as a carbon. A stolen animal cannot be brought as a carbon. The Gemara says in the beginning of the third parak. Why is the Gemara over here darshening psukim in terms of disqualifying a stolen sukkah and a stolen pair of tzitzis? Why not employ the rule of mitzvah haba be'avera? Okay, take a look at Tosos on the bottom. He asked this very question. Tosos responds. I'll just point to the answer in Tosfos. V'yesh lamar. So right, it's about six lines down in Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos. V'yesh lamar. The time of the mitzvah haba be'avera lav de araisa ela midrabanan. So Tosos over here invokes an interesting chiddush, and he says that the whole concept of mitzvah ba be'avera is not a disqualification that works on a deraisa level. It is a derabbanan disqualification, not a deraisa disqualification. So in other words, it's a big concept. It's a very intuitive concept, but in Minatorah, it's not a concept. It's a concept that was instituted by the Chachamim. And the fact that the Gemara in the beginning of the third paragraph, it's a pasuk, yeah, but that's a pasuk from Sefer Malachi. So, one of Treyasar. The Gemara is not quoting a pasuk in Chumash. So it's not a din d'oraisa, it is merely but a din d'rabbanan. So if, in the event that we have psukim, like by tzitzis and like by sukkah, so obviously we'll quote a pasuk because then it turns into a din d'oraisa. Okay. I'm sure I'm going to mention this back when we get to Daf Lamed, but just to invoke one other possible suggestion or solution to the problem, and that is by the Ritva. I say it's a popular Ritva. You know why I say that? Because I know it. So that's why it's popular. So, but the Ritva says, I've heard this time and again, it's a very interesting Ritva. The Ritva says that the disqualification of mitzvah ba'aver is only regarding carbon, or anything that's carbon-like. But something that's not a carbon is not subject to the disqualification of mitzvah ba'avera. In fact, the Ritva is very clear from the pasuk that the Gemara quotes, because the Gemara in Daf Lamed quotes the pasuk va'aveisem gazul v'sepisech v'sachola, meaning what's the pasuk Malachi talking about? Carbon. So when it comes to carbon, I can't steal a carbon and use it as a carbon. That's mitzvah ba'avera. And anything that is carbon-like is subject to the mitzvah ba'avera. But when it comes to sukkah, when it comes to tzitzis, they're not carbon; those are mitzvos. Huh? That's correct. Correct. The Gemara did that earlier. But according to Ritva, point well taken. But it won't, but sukkah doesn't fall under the category of a carbon. However, I'll tell you the interesting part of the Ritva, this is where the shir begins usually. But you know what we do compare to a carbon? Lulav, esrog, hadas, maravas. Meaning the Gemara in the third parak is talking about the disqualification of a lulav, and of course by lulav we mean lulav, esrog, hadas, maravas, the dalminim. And so the Ritva says that has carbon-like qualities to it. Why that should be? So that's the beginning of a lengthier shiur. Not right, correct, and the connection and the relationship between the Dalaminim and the Beis Hamikdash and basically how it has a carbon like quality to it. Okay, but that's where the shiur begins, and we're doing the daf right now, so we stopped that discussion. But fine, that's the solution of the Ritva. Why our Gemara over here doesn't invoke the rule of mitzvah ba'aver? Because we're just talking about mitzvahs. And mitzvah ba'aver only applies to carbon. Which is funny if you think about it, because the whole concept is mitzvah ba'aver. And according to the Ritva, it should be carbon ba'aver. Okay, but fine. Okay, we turn the Amud, we're on Tes Amud Beis. And we start now the next topic of the discussion. Okay, this topic has a lot of halacha l'maisa, has a lot of practical application. I'll go through the daf, I'll get the concepts down, and then you'll speak to your rav in terms of all the practical applications. But at least we'll get down the basics, and that is that your sukkah can't be under a tree, right? The branches that are hanging over your sukkah, no good. You got to cut it down. So the Mishnah starts off. I was a sukkah tachas eilan. So you make your sukkah and you make it under a tree. Kilu asa b'soch habayis. So the Mishnah is interested in making a point and makes the point strong. You build the sukkah under your tree, it's like building in your house. Okay. Obviously, you try to build the sukkah in your house, the air conditioning is great, but the sukkah is no good. So the sukkah is obviously disqualified. So the Mishnah says it would be the same thing as building a sukkah under a tree. No good. Okay. Now, do we get any description of the tree? It's a sparse tree, it's a thick tree, the branches are a lot, the branches are little. We don't get much description. We had to wait for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to talk about this. Sukkah ha'gabi sukkah ha'yonik sher v'tachton apsula. If I have a sukkah built on top of another sukkah, so the upper sukkah is good, the lower sukkah is no good. Rav Yehuda omer, mein diyurim be'elyona tachton aksherah. And Rav Yehuda says that no one's living in the upper sukkah, so then the lower sukkah is going to be good. Okay? Well, we not enough context right now at this point in time to understand the sukkah al-gabi sukkah, the one sukkah built on top of another sukkah. Wait till tomorrow's daf where we're going to be discussing and provide a little more context. What are we talking about? One sukkah being built on top of another sukkah. Coming up in tomorrow's daf. But for the rest of today's daf, what do we get to discuss? We get to discuss building a sukkah under a tree. Our Mishnah says no good. Our Mishnah says not only no good, it's like you built it in a house. Okay? Obviously the Mishnah is making a point. The Mishnah could have just simply said psula. The Mishnah says, rather, it's like building it under a house. What's the Mishnah driving at? Amarava lo shenu ela bi'ilan shet silto meruba mechamato. Ava chamaso meruba mitzoso kshera. So Rava says, I'll tell you what our Mishnah is driving at. Our Mishnah is driving at the idea that not all trees are the same. The tree that disqualifies your sukkah is where the branches of the tree are greater than the sun of the tree, meaning there's more shade provided by the tree than there is airspace. However, if there's more sunlight in airspace than there is shade that's provided by the tree, so then it would be kosher. So then it would be fine. Now Rava says, now how do I know that I can make such a distinction? Midiktani. Because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you make a sukkah under your tree, it's like you made it under the house. What is the Mishnah driving at when the Mishnah makes such a comparison? Wouldn't the Mishnah, wouldn't it have been easier for the Mishnah to just simply have said that it's possible? So obviously the Mishnah is telling us that we are to compare the two, the house and the tree. So when it comes to a house, obviously, right, the whole very definition of the house is it's a roof, it's shelter. There's obviously more shade than there is sunlight provided by the roof of your house. And if there isn't, that's not much of a house. And even if there is more shade than sunlight, right, any sunlight by your house is pretty much not warranted, not wanted. But anyway, but the point, of course, is that the Mishnah is telling us that just like by a house, for sure, it's silta meruba mechamasa, there's more shade than there is sunlight. Same thing is true with the tree. Af ilan silta meruba mechamasa. So the Gemara says, same thing is true with the tree, that there's going to be more shade than there is sunlight. So the Gemara says, okay, I get that, but let's turn the discussion around. Let's say you're right. Let's say I have a tree, and there's more sun than there is shade. It's a sparse tree. It's just a couple of branches are going over my sukkah. The Gemara says, is that okay? Now, again, from our discussion up until this point in time, well, that's fine. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'm not so sure. So, v'chi chamas umarubah mitzel samay have. Ha'kam mitztaref schach pasol behadeh schach kasher. So, aren't you now basically intertwining or combining schach pasol with schach kasher? Meaning, essentially, those branches that are over your sukkah, so I understand, the tree by itself is sparse. And it's not... In other words, if you take the total square area of what is being produced by that tree, it's more sun than it is shade. I get that. But still, when all said and done, the branches that are coming off the tree, that's schach pasul. That is disqualified schach. Now, let's make this point clear now. The Gemara is going to make this point clear in just a day from now. What it was schach pasul? Meaning, what's good for your schach, what's no good for your schach? So we're going to learn tomorrow's daf in a couple days, right, next couple days. That the schach requirement is that it has to be organic, it has to grow from the ground, it has to be detached from the ground, and it cannot be made in a utensil. Those are your three basic rules regarding schach. So if it violates any one of those rules, it's not kosher schach. So it has to grow from the ground, it has to be detached from the ground, and it cannot be a kli, can't be made into a utensil. Okay? So now, let's think about this. So what do we have? We have a tree. So it grows from the ground, not made in a utensil, but still connected to the ground. So those branches are schach pasul. So here's what bothers the Gemara. Fine. The branches by themselves, if I looked at them in the vacuum, so they provide more, they don't provide majority shade. But what they are doing, however, is that they are contributing to your sukkah. The branches together with the schach that you lay down in the sukkah, in combination, are providing the shade for your sukkah. So now what I have is, I have a sukkah that is a composite of schach kasher and schach pasul. And what bothers the Gemara now is, that shouldn't work, even if the branches are chamasa meruba mitzilso. Even if there's more sun than there is shade by your schach. Amra papa b'shechavtan. So our papa says, point well taken. We're talking about specifically where the branches are laid down and inserted into your schach. They're interwoven into the schach, which means that yes, there's a tree above my sukkah, but I manipulated the branches so that the branches now are actually not hovering above my sukkah, they're actually intertwined within the sukkah. Okay, and that makes it better. And that's interesting, really? That makes it better? The Gemara says, b'shechavtan ma'ala meimar, ma'od detema, I'm sorry, b'shechavtan. Right, Let's see Rashi. So Rashi says it makes it better. Why does it make it better? Hishpol anaf of lamata mu'uravim imschach kasher. Ve'einirin ba'ayin. So Rashi says again, Rashi just explaining the Gemara. The Gemara says that you're taking the branches and you're interweaving it into your schach, and that's good. Uschach kasher rabba alav umevat la. And Rashi says, and what happens now is that I have a tarovis. I have now a mixture laying over the top of my sukkah of schach kasher and schach pasul. And assuming, and this only works obviously if the majority of that schach is schach kasher, so the schach kasher is going to be mevatel, nullifies the schach pasul. That's what Rashi says. Umevala demid arayz komili bata beruba kedinam memasisani mayasichach meruba mehen ksheira. Okay? So once you interweave it, so therefore it now becomes batal.
But if it's bitla, how come they don't talk about like a ratio, like they just being like majority and?
Well, the Gemara essentially does. The Gemara essentially says that the schach in question over here is chamasa meruba mitzilsa, meaning that its total air is greater than the shade that it provides. Okay.
What is the fact that it's moving in make a
difference? So the fact that's the right question. So now what comes out very interesting is that if it's hovering over the top, we don't get to use the concept of bittul, but once it's interwoven, so now we get to use the concept of bittul. Right, that's very interesting, and that's a little bit difficult to understand. What's the difference between the schach being dropped down and interwoven versus it hovering over the top? So basically, I mean, the way we're going to have to say it or look at it is that if it's hovering over the top, You can't ignore it. In other words, bittul, generally speaking, is when you have a tarovus, when you have a mixture. Right? We have kosher and non-kosher food getting mixed together. I'm speaking now conceptually. Kosher and non-kosher food getting mixed together. So if I have a majority of kosher versus a minority of non-kosher and I don't recognize which one's which, so then we say bittul. But if there's a point of recognition, if I know, well, this one's a kosher and this one's a non-kosher, so then we don't get to say bittul. Here too, if I have this schach pasul and it's hovering over the top, we don't enjoy the concept of bittul because there's no tarovis, there's no mixture. Only when there's a mixture and everything gets mixed together and I have a difficult time recognizing which one's which, then and only then we get to enjoy the concept of bittul. Okay, fine. That's where we're at in the Gemara. So again, the Mishnah makes the point that if you build your sukkah under trees, like building under a house. The Gemara says, why the comparison? Well, the tree is only going to disqualify your sukkah if the tree is providing more shade than air. The Gemara then says, okay, but if it provides more air than shade, that makes it okay? The Gemara says, yeah, but isn't that contributing to your schach? And aren't you being mitzarif? Aren't you combining schach pasul and schach kasher? Answers the Gemara, when they're blended together, we have the concept of bittul, and since the tree is providing, not providing more shade than it is air, so therefore it's mevutal. It's nullified in your schach. But again, only if it is interwoven between the two. The Gemara says, Ibishachavta mala memra. So the Gemara says, well, then where's the Chiddush? The Gemara says, I'll tell you where the Chiddush is. Mao de temag nigzera, hecha de chavtan, atu hecha de lo chavtan. So the Gemara says, look, now the point of demarcation, the line of demarcation, what a thin line. Meaning, schach hovering above, your sukkah is no good. Schach is now lowered and interwoven in your schach. In your schach kasher, oh, that's good. That's a really thin line. I might have thought the Gemara's hava mina is that the chachamim make a gzera. If the only difference is whether the schach, whether the branches of the tree are hovering above versus whether they're interwoven, I might have thought the chachamim would make a gzera. Kamash malan de lo gazrinan. So the chiddush is that no such gzera. Hanami tanina, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you the truth. All this that we just stated is actually a Mishnah coming up in Adaf 2 days from now. If I take vines that are still connected to the ground, and I lay the vines over the top of my sukkah, and then I lay schach on top of that, that would be pasul. However, there'd be under two circumstances, it would be okay. If either A, there is more schach kasher than there is schach pasul, Or B, I take the vines and I just simply cut them off the ground. So in either way, it would be fine. But anyway, that Mishnah, which we'll see 2 days from now, clearly tells us that as long as I have more schach kasha than I have schach pasul, so it would be fine. So hechidam ilam v'shul chafta and kamitz tar schach pasul schach kasha. And again, we'll go back to our first point. If I have more, if they're hovering above, so then they're not subject to bittul, and therefore they're contributing to my schach, and that's no good. Elav kishachavtan, it must be that the vines mentioned in the Mishnah and Yud Aleph are interwoven with your schach, ushma mina delo gazrinan, and you see that we don't make such a gzeira. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u detem ani milibidiyavav al chechilo k'mash malan." Gemara says, "You're right, but still." We're still gonna make the point again in today's daf, because if all I had was a Mishnah on daf Yud Aleph, I would think, look, post facto b'di'eved, that's fine. But lichatchila, but a priori, that one is allowed to do this, where it takes schach pasul, interweave it into your schach kasher, and between the two, make that okay. Tosfos says I might have thought that'd be no good. Kamashvan, then that would be fine.
The
Gemara says that's the Havamin. The Havamin, it would be that you think that there'd be a difference in Lechatchila and B'dievet. No, the Gemara says no. There's no problem even Lechatchila. If I want to put a low schach pas on the top of my schach, that'd be fine. Okay, good.
But the principle of Bittul, you cannot do it Lechatchila.
Right, that's a good question. Right, generally speaking, Eid Mevat L'Nisa Lechatchila, that you're not allowed to create Bittul Lechatchila. That's a very good question.
Now you're getting too far.
Now you're getting too advanced. But the question of aim of l'chatchila. Okay. Maybe this is not Isser. Okay. Let me think about it before I give you just a glib answer. One more thing that we'll mention. We'll go a little bit further in today's daf. But one very basic point that comes out of Rashi. And that is the following. Rashi says, what comes out clearly from our Gemara, is that you can lay schach pasul on the top of your schach, on the top of your sukkah, as long as A, you have schach kasha there, B, you have more schach kasha than you have schach pasul, and C, they're interwoven between the two. Right? That, under those circumstances, so then there could be a mixture of schach pasul and schach kasha. So Rashi over here says, okay, so let's now deal with practical halacha. This is Rashi now. Rashi says, so how about we lay lattice on the top of your sukkah and put schach on top of that? So Rashi says that's fine. Okay, you can see the Rashi inside. Rashi, the long Rashi of Maila Memra. So Rashi says, okay, in the Rashi of Maila Memra, go halfway down in that Rashi, starting from the word Shma Mina Mehacha. So Rashi says, so what do you gain from our Gemara? What do you deduce from our Gemara? Shema mina mehacha, shemesachachin al kane hagag, shekorin lattice. So, right, Rashi uses a word. Yeah, usually I don't do a good job translating from French to English. Right, here I'm okay. Right. So Rashi says that if you want to take lattice and put lattice on the top of your schach and then put schach on top of that, Rashi says that's fine. Now here comes an interesting point in Rashi. And Rashi says, Afa pishes mucho zulazu bepachos migimel. Now let's say, in terms of the lattice itself, you take the square area of the lattice and there's more sun than the shade, which has to be. Because if not, then there's nothing to talk about. But let's say you take the lattice and there's more sun than the shade, so Rashi says that's fine. Even if the beams of the lattice are within 3 tfachim of one another. Now here's what you could have argued, and Rashi's rejecting it out of hand. You could have argued lavud, and that would have been a very good argument. Meaning we've been saying now since day one of the Masechta, we've been saying it a couple of times that we have a halacha l'moshe misina, that when I have two items that are within 3 tfachim of one another, the gap is closed, the area is closed. In fact, we created a wall for a sukkah, and we're going to do it again later in the Masechta. We created a wall with our sukkah using the concept of lover. Well, I have a string, and I have a string, and the strings are thin strings, tiny strings, it doesn't matter. As long as they're within 3 tfachim of one another, the gap is closed. So Rashi over here says that when it comes to the lattice I'm placing on the top of the sukkah, as long as the beams, I'm sorry, not as long as, wrong conjunction. Even if the beams are within 3 tfachim one another, Rashi says that doesn't bother me, and it would be fine, and you can throw schach kasher on top of it, and it would be a good sukkah, and we don't say lavud. Right, correct. And what comes out from this Rashi, it's pretty clear. What comes out from the Rashi is that lavud, it's an interesting concept, but lavud works for our convenience, but not to our detriment. Meaning to make a sukkah, to construct a sukkah, so there we can employ the rule of lavud. But to tell us now that your schach is no good, no. Then we're gonna reject the concept of lavud. And if, obviously it's a bit of a brain teaser how lavud works in certain areas, but we can ignore it in other areas. But that's, I mean, Rashi says it. Alpha pisha smucha zulazuba pachos megimel kevin shechamta meruba mitzota v'rebi v'omer rebi dezeru shir kishakan v'avish abenem. Okay, fine. And then Rashi goes on. But interesting, what Rashi says, based on that, you can throw lattice on the top of your schach and then lay schach on top of it. Obviously, there has to be more schach than there is lattice. And obviously, the lattice square area has to represent more sun, more air than actual shade, more air than material. But under those circumstances, Rashi would say, that's fine, based on our Gemara. No, the lattice by itself is schach, right, and that's another interesting point, by the way, which is clear from Rashi. The lattice by itself is schach pasul, because it's basically building material, right. The big discussion, which comes up later in the Masechta, is let's say we take 2x4s. The Gemara doesn't use the term 2x4s, but you and I can, right? So you take 2x4s and you make schach using your 2x4s, right? Is that okay? Meaning it's gross from the ground, it's detached from the ground, and it's not yet. Meaning it was shaved to 2 inches by 4 inches, but we wouldn't call it a kli yet. It's not a finished product yet. So that we'll see. We'll talk about that later in this perek, whether or not you could do that. The answer is going to be no, but we'll have to explain why. We'll talk about it. Okay, sukkah agabi sukkah. Let's just do a little bit more gemara for today, and we'll finish. Building a sukkah one on top of another. So, what our Mishnah say? No good. Not no good. That's not exactly what the Mishnah says. But the Mishnah says the top one is kosher, but the bottom one is pasul. Well, what's wrong with the bottom one? Tanur rabbanan besukkah teishvu v'lo besukkah shetachas hasukkah. So you have to sit in a sukkah, but not one sukkah on top of another sukkah. V'lo b'sukkah shetachas ha'ilan, not a sukkah under a tree. V'lo b'sukkah shebetoch habayis, not a sukkah within a house. Adarabah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the drasha. How did that work? Meaning, because the Torah says b'sukkah, it's just the opposite. The way the Torah makes it sound like is, you can't sit in multiple sukkahs. The Torah says b'sukkos teishvu. So the Gemara says b'sukkos tarti mashma, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak b'sukkos k'siv. Yeah, but we have, and this is the second time in this parak we made this point, the difference between the kri and the k'siv. It's pronounced besukos, which is in the plural, but it's written in the singular. So that, right, what do we get from the ksiv, from the way that it's written, or the word, how did the Gemara describe that earlier in the Masechta? Yesh eim la mesores, the tradition in terms of how it's written, even though it's pronounced besukos, it's telling us that it has to be a singular entity, and it can't be a sukkah on top of another sukkah. So if I'm sitting on a sukkah that's below another sukkah, that's no good, because it violates the ksiv, the way that the Torah is written. Even though Tosfos acknowledges that earlier in the Masechta we said we had a whole debate whether we attach more value to the way it's read versus the way it's written, but Tosfos says to make this particular point, everyone's in agreement that we attach weight to the way that it's written in the singular. Today we covered the topic of sukkah l'shma. Beis Hillel says there is no requirement of sukkah l'shma. Beis Shammai disagrees, but obviously we follow like Beis Hillel. But the cautionary note, of course, is that Tosfos Yerushalmi Sarach Chadash Badavar. We investigated whether the Gemara took us on to a detour of the Yanala to benefit from the walls of the sukkah, and then we discussed a little bit this morning whether that's a psul d'oraisa versus just a din d'rabbanan of moksa. The Gemara says that you can't use a stolen sukkah because of a pasuk. Why did the Gemara use the concept of mitzvah baba avera? We quoted Tosfos, we quoted Ritva. On the Amud Beis, we talked today about constructing a sukkah underneath a tree. The Gemara says it's no good because the tree is obviously schach pasul. If we take the branches of the tree and provided they're a minority and provided that they're mixed together with your schach, would be okay. Because of the concept of bittul, so explains Rashi. Rashi then talked about making your schach, using lattice as a base for your schach. Rashi says that's fine, and we talked about the concept of love and not hurting us. And then tomorrow we'll really get into the discussion of a sukkah built on top of another sukkah.